Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Please get in touch with your survivor stories or thank you letters. You can reach us at contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at emily_lang_UK. And please, please vote for us for listener's choice at the British Podcast Awards. We are small but mighty and we really need your support. Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So 2020 was a weird time for all of us. I mean, what a shocker that is to say, but you say 2020 and you can literally see the blood drain from people's faces. It was a time when a lot of us reevaluated ourselves, our futures, our wants and needs. My guest today was forced to sit with something huge that threatened to rock her entire sense of being. Needless to say, she thrived. And I will say until I'm blue in the face, sometimes the things that feel the worst in the moment ultimately turn out to be the best. Singer Lily Moore and I are discussing all of this and more today. Okay, so
the 4th of July. What a big day.
What a day.
The 4th of July. God, I look forward to it every goddamn year. But the 4th of July 2020, wow, that was a time. But are we in London at the moment? We're in London. It is the 4th of July. If for those who don't know, this is the day, the glorious day that the pubs reopened.
Basically Christmas.
It was Christmas and Easter and what's another good one?
All birthdays. Every single birthday.
Ash Wednesday.
Shrove
Tuesday. All of it poured into one delicious
Halloween. Oh God, I couldn't wait.
Every single national holiday poured into one day, which was the 4th of July 2020 when the pubs reopened. Mm. But we are in a pub in London 2020, 4th of July. And in this moment, Lily Moore.
Fuck.
Why do you think you've got no friends?
Oh, God.
Here we go.
God. No, that was a wild day.
No, yeah.
That was such a wild day. The first day the pubs reopened, obviously very, very, very excited.
Mm.
And at the time, we'd been in lockdown for a few months. Yeah, I feel like the first few months of lockdown, I was all right. And then all of a sudden, was not fucking okay. Mm. Did not like it. It was almost overnight. I woke up and felt fucking horrendous. And because of this, I'd arranged on the 4th of July to see my mum for the first time in a very long time.
Wow.
Okay. The pubs were reopening. I thought, you know what? She said, what do you want to do? And she lives in Brighton. So she got the train up and We hung out outdoors. Mm. We were outdoors, you know. I mean, you probably could have by that point, but fuck it. I'll just make sure I don't get cancelled. And we met in Hyde Park for a little picnic. And I was just sat there and I was already feeling pretty low. I was like, I just don't feel like me anymore. Yeah. I feel so anxious. You know,
had you been solo lockdowning? That's a pro question. Or had you been with
people? I'd been with people. I actually had the first few months were pretty sick because I was in a house with seven other musicians.
Oh my God.
We all decided to be together, which was actually a lot of fun. I grew up in a very chaotic household. My mum literally had constantly her mates living with us, and I was brought up by a real team of nutters and drag queens and icons. So being in a big chaotic house actually feels safer to me than being on my own anyway. So the first few months were really good. And then I finally got to see my mum after such a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm really nervous about going to the pub, which is weird because to be honest, the pub's been the least scary thing in my whole life. That always felt like my living room.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack about going to the pub. And I was going to meet basically some of my label at the time. Mm-hmm. And my mum said to me, darling, go home, get dressed up as Lily Moore. Because at the time I was in my kind of depression suit, which was not sexy, which kind of just looks like trackies.
Nice trackies.
Depression trackies, suit. You know what I mean? Little outfit.
And it's so depression chic.
So depression chic. It was really giving.
It's really giving anxiety.
Such a bad outfit. Do you know what I mean? Bit vague. Fucking hell. It's not good. But, and I was like, you're so right. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get dressed as Lily Moore. So I went home. I think I was wearing like white cowboy boots, fake eyelashes. I brought a notebook with me. Anyway, I sit down at this pub, one of my favourite pubs in Holland Park. I can't say it. It's either the Mitre or the Mitre or something like that. And
we're all going after this, guys.
We're going. There you go. It's going to be stunning. We'll make it better again because I obviously haven't fucking been able to go back since.
100% we'll talk about that.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
And I sat down and then they said, oh, we've got some news for you. Which, and actually, I'm glad they told me in person because my favourite joke my entire life is anytime someone would say, let's meet, I'd be like, Time to drop me. My whole life I've kind of been really shocked that anyone ever wanted to sign me in the first fucking place. So I was kind of confused. So sat down and then we've got some news. And I was like, I've got news too, guys. I've got my notebook here. Yeah. So I've actually got... And then they said, you're getting dropped. And
fucking hell.
Yeah. And I was in my costume.
How do they word that when they... Can you remember like how they said it? Did they sort of try and frame it in a positive light? Or was it like, okay.
Do you know, and I don't feel any anger towards it. I feel like the fact that they told me in person, I really, really, really appreciated because also because it was lockdown, I was signed to Virgin EMI and it was a quite a big label and I didn't know how many other people had also got dropped. And it was because they tell everyone individually. So that was the thing, is like the moment I felt like it was just me and it was really painful.
Right.
But then when we could all go out again, I realised it was actually like 30 of us that had all gone through this and most people got a fucking email.
Right.
So I was like...
Dear insert name.
No, literally. Like,
horrendous.
And I was like, I would have had a fucking... I would have gone into cardiac arrest if I'd read that email. So that was nice that I got told in person and... Again, I think I went into, I was with my managers and stuff and they were like super supportive. I'm like, it was kind of a weird thing. I just went into shock. And my initial reaction was, do I still have to have dinner? It was. I was like.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, I literally was like,
so
do I have to eat here?
Can I go now?
Literally. Yeah. And then they said, which is sweet as well. My mum lives in Brighton and they said, if you want, we'll get you a car to go back to Brighton so you can like be with your mum because the trains are all a bit weird and locked down. And I was like, I have to live in Brighton. I have to live with my mum in Brighton.
Well, this is what happens.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, and then went and had few beers with my managers in Hyde Park and it was a pretty shitty day. I don't want to be too, I feel like I'm always trying to be like, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was fucking horrible at the moment, but I do appreciate the energy they told me in person, but fucking hell was not, the whole thing was just not
good.
That's
not I think that so many of us who have worked in the arts can really, really understand, appreciate, and relate to that, because I left my first agents before they dropped me, but I was like, I could feel it coming. I was like, yeah, they're gonna fucking drop me. And the feeling of that is awful. And there is like no sugarcoating it. There are so many things that happen afterwards, then you're like, oh my God, thank God that happened. It's the same with everything, like with breakups. My God, the amount of men that I genuinely was like, I'll give you my kidney if you ask, to then go, I'm so glad you're not in my life anymore. Mm. That's happened time and time again, but it doesn't diminish the pain in the moment. And the fact when, like, the people who are supposed to believe in you suddenly seems like they don't, it's fucking horrendous. Yeah. It's horrendous. And then also coming out of this really strange time of like a different world, it must have just thrown your entire nervous system just completely off kilter.
Mm.
I can't imagine. Did you go to Brighton that night?
I didn't go to Brighton. I feel like...
That's quite like, but for them to go, should we get you a car to go to Brighton? That's a make that they're really going, we know that this is a huge deal and you might be in a really bad way. And that fucking sucks. You kind of want to be like, oh, you're going to be all right. But it's like, no, we'll get you to a safe place.
Mm.
Jesus.
It was fucking mental.
Yeah.
It was also really difficult. And I think this is the other thing is now, at the time, this is why I didn't know how many other people it happened to, because people don't like to say they got dropped.
No.
And people are afraid of that. And it's actually only since talking about it, I've realised how many fucking people it's happened to.
Yeah.
Actually, most artists at some point have gone through that. And I think it's fucking hilarious. I always say it. I'm like, you know, if I said dropped, people maybe have been like, you know, why don't you say sort of parted ways? I'm like, no, I got fucking dropped. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Dropping. It happened. It's like...
I kind of love that though. I mean, like, because I do have this, like, my big theory is that things are, like, either wonderful and amazing and you really, really appreciate them, or there are these terrible fucking things that happen that later become really fucking funny. They just become funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a story for so many other people and becomes this like dinner table. Oh my God, you'll never guess what happened to me in this moment. But because you're so right, this thing of like, there are so many of us sitting in our tent in Siberia being like, I am entirely alone. This is only, I've got my little oil, I've got my Bunsen burner and my... fucking wok or whatever the fuck is going on in Siberia. That's what they give you when you go.
Is it? Starter pack.
That's a starter pack. A Bunsen burner and a wok. Nothing else. And you're sat there in your tent being like, well, this is fucking awful. But honestly, if we open up, say you open up the flaps. Leave by shaking his head. Yes.
Straight in.
For the listeners, I'm miming parting something and poking my head through it.
She is. She truly is.
But if you went like this, you'd see there are so many other tents with people sitting alone. And if we all went, hello, we'd all have a fucking massive party. We'd just be like, you want to come in? Come in my tent.
Do you know what I mean?
I've got a wok.
I've just made some delicious food.
I've got buns. I'm like, no way, I've got some pop tarts.
We can stir fry them. Yeah.
Come on over. And then suddenly you're like, oh shit, you've been in this position as well. And like, there are so many amazing people who have done fucking incredible things that have been through the same shit as well. Mm. Like that, as much as in that moment, for so many of us, it will feel like this ending of something that you've put so much energy and love and care into, and this thing that you love so much does not love you back. And you're like, but I will do anything for you. And it goes like, no, you're not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
And it does feel like the ending. And more often than not, it's not the end, but fucking hell.
Yeah.
And it was 2020, man. I mean, what a bag of dicks.
Literally.
What a bag of dicks.
That year, disgusting. I actually just, do you feel like, I feel like I can't remember much of that year.
It's my favourite, one of my favourite things about that year. It's not so funny. I left my boyfriend of nearly 4 years the day before the first lockdown. I then moved in with someone who was quite a lot older than me, and I was like, well, I'm in love now. And he was like, no, you're not. So I got dumped the day before my birthday. Then Jamie was on Strictly, and I was like, cool. I've been dumped living at my mum's. Jamie's on Strictly. And then I got appendicitis. And when they were in there, they found out I had endometriosis. Sorry, it's not funny. But I was like, I was sat there. I remember Jamie FaceTiming when he was in his rehearsal room with Karen. And oh, I was like, and I was in.
He's in a sequin.
Yeah, he's in like full sequins, like spray tan, doing the fucking quick step. And I was in a hospital bed.
In the gown.
A gown.
Fucking
looking
hell.
With those socks on. That
compression.
Yeah, the compression socks. And I was like, oh, guy, I know this year has been a punch in the tit, but at least I've got endometriosis.
Shit.
Yeah. But honestly, I now look at that and I'm like, that's so funny.
And
like,
you got it all out of the way.
In one big sandwich.
One big shit sandwich.
But anyway, we'll go back to you. but 2020 was just, in general, for so many of us, was just... It was like living on another planet.
Uh-huh.
And I do, and we've discussed this with quite a few people. It's like all of this shit happened and it really informed us. And now we've kind of all just like suddenly forgotten that it happened, or like we've kind of compartmentalized it into this place of going, that, you know, it doesn't exist. Because you're right, I can't really remember a lot of it.
It's blurred. It's all very, very, I don't know, I think I've forgotten it on purpose.
I don't know why this is on my brain so much today, and I'm really sorry, listeners. Mm-mm. But like I know I had two boyfriends that year. I can't remember having sex once in that entire time, and I know that I did. But
see, I'm doubting I did. The problem. I'm like,
I love that you just went
fingers crossed one day. No, but it's all,
I can't remember,
gone.
It's gone.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's all fucking blurred, which, thank you, brain, for doing that. For, yeah. Like, that's what it likes to do. It likes to protect us.
Mm-mm. What happened? So obviously, you went and saw your... These are the managers you're still with now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you saw them. And then what was the, like... What was the fallout from that? Actually, do you know... Do you know Jordan Gray?
No.
Comedian. And comedian and musician, isn't she? Yeah, she had the same thing. Her moment was her getting dropped by this label.
Girlie as well.
And was it Girlie?
Maybe it wasn't her moment, but she also got dropped around the same time.
Oh,
maybe
fucking
the same label as well.
Maybe. Fuck. Dick ones. Sorry, no, you're doing good work. Keep going.
No. It's fucking, is it me, Girlie, on the same label now, actually?
Oh, yeah.
She released an album with, I'm pretty sure it was EMI, and then she got dropped after.
Fuck. They like to do that. They like to do that.
Ray. And now she's back. Like,
oh my God. An icon. See, this is why you've got to talk about it, is because she's just like championing it. She's got no.
Yeah.
No one's been like, oh, fucking hell, what a loser. She got
Oh, how humiliating.
Yeah.
Like, no one. You think that everyone's going to be like whispering behind their hands about what a sad case you are, and mm-hmm. like, oh shit, how embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. And actually no one fucking is. One, because it's either happened to them, or two, because they're so scared it's going to happen to them that they're like, ugh. It's
literally.
Like, it's not the kind of gossip that we all, that the kind of gossip that we prey on.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to your managers, and then after that, what happened? Like, how, what were the emotions, the thought process, the fallout of that event?
It was, it's strange. I kind of, the week before and the 2 weeks before were already, just coincidentally, like your shit sandwich, probably the worst, the first time in my adult life I really felt my mental health was fucked.
Right, right.
And yeah, I remember waking up start of July one morning and just having these really... racing foot, like my brain just felt like it was going at 100 fucking miles an hour. I couldn't really understand what was going on. I'd always had anxiety growing up, and I feel like lots of people have anxiety, and when you're busy it's not there. And I'd noticed that as a kid, like every summer holiday I would have these huge bouts of anxiety, but then the minute I was back at school, it would go away.
And
lockdown kind of was probably the first time as an adult I had that summer holiday feeling.
That's a strange correlation.
Mm.
I think, like, as kids, especially sort of like pubescent, prepubescent, actually, I'm the fault. I mean, now, like, it's all, it goes on forever. Hopefully not. But that the thing of, like, I always felt it when I was at school. I felt more secure because I knew what was going on. I knew what people were doing. I knew whether I was involved or not. When I was away from it, I was like, I don't know if there's a party happening that I'm not invited to. And fuck, oh my God, do I have any friends? And what is it? And you have no control over the situation.
Yeah.
And so I completely understand. And I wouldn't understand why that then sparked back up in that moment. it does... It's weird how our bodies and brains, nervous system can anticipate shit. It's like my frontal lobe being like, fuck.
No, literally.
I don't know. My amygdala going,
mine's my meowing, I don't know, but that's the sound it has.
What noise does your amygdala make?
That is it. Fuck. Yeah, it wouldn't be a calms. It would literally be
It would be someone shit. Going, what a sad little life, Jane. Just over and over.
But I've got in my head now the Grinch, you know, and it's like, that's going. I feel like that is, I just had the biggest thought of that.
Tomorrow is Christmas.
Yeah.
It's practically here.
Literally. I think mine's the Grinch. That would be mine. No, but it is fucked. It's like, it's always done that. And I think that was a real proof to me that routine.
Yeah.
And distraction are, I mean, really, really, really good tools for coping with anxiety. And yeah, I got diagnosed with OCD as well.
Wow.
In lockdown.
Interesting.
During this fucking month, this shit month.
Mm. Oh my God, what a fucking shit sandwich, mate.
Literally. Which again, yeah. I've had it my whole life. And I feel like now the reason I can talk about it is because I feel far enough out the woods that it doesn't feel like something that's here all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you have a name for it. You have a name. You're able to forgive yourself isn't the right way of putting it, but it's a way of just being able to understand these parts of yourself that you've struggled with and didn't know why you were struggling, and you're like, I can't fucking change these things. Then when someone goes, your brain works like this because of this thing, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How does your OCD manifest? Because I think I like talking about OCD because so many people out there, when you say OCD, think about it being like people have to make things really tidy or they have to switch the light switch off and off. But actually, it doesn't manifest like that for a lot of people. It's very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
How does yours sort of happen?
I think it's the feeling of not being able to let something go. And whether that is, and there's so many different versions of OCD, and I feel like I was going to say cuisines, but so many different cuisines.
That's a really, great way of putting it.
You're at the buffet. Yeah. They're all fucking awful things.
Here we go. There's repeated thoughts. Yeah, there's I'll have a bit of that.
I'll have a little bit of intrusive thoughts, and then I'm going to mix it with an urge that I need to get this just right. And if I don't, someone's going to die.
Gravy boat of family dying.
And just a chocolate fondant of general unrest and that I've burnt the house down. That's lovely. Yeah, just Diet Coke.
Oh, that's
actually.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
A lovely meal. So that's my plate, my mezze.
In my head, it's on a cruise and I don't know why.
No, I feel that. I feel cruise. I feel like I'm in a ball gown, you're in a ball gown, we're eating our thing.
I have that bit of that. Oh, yeah. Oh my God, I want to paint a picture of that so bad.
Just sloppy.
You and me in the ball gown from Anastasia.
And we're the only ones in the crew. And there's a guy doing the thing and he's got a keyboard and he's just going like... And I'm like, oh, gee, are you sure you don't want any?
Yeah, yeah. And it's you and me looking at each other like, oh, and one of us holding a ladle.
Are you sure you don't want any mushy peas with that? That sushi.
Oh, it's got it's got a real kick of depression in it.
It's lovely. It's got a real sprinkling of self-loathing, a little handful of depression. Add a bit of low self-esteem at the bottom and...
Oh,
delicious. It's my special meal.
My favourite bit is going, and a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke.
And it's under the ones where you put it under and press the button.
Yeah, no ISO, just fucking straight in there.
Perfect.
It's warm, the cup's warm.
Oh yeah, 100%, without question.
So yeah, that's literally... There we go. But I think, and also I kind of made the decision on the way here, I was like, I'm going to talk about OCD because I've been so, because of the fucking representation of it, I didn't want to talk about it. And I always fucking bang on about mental health and I think it's so important to, but even I was scared to say that. When I got diagnosed with it, I spent the first 2 months sobbing my eyes out and Googling celebrities with OCD. I'm not joking.
No. I've done that. I looked through a whole list of celebrities who have been to rehab because I was like... No, because you can be an addict and still be famous.
No, you just want to know that
there's one person who's got it. It's like, so you go celebrities. Who was it the other day? It was someone who goes, Selena Gomez has bipolar, and she is very pretty.
Does
make me feel better. She is very pretty.
It shouldn't, but it does. And also, I know you're saying about endometriosis. Yeah. I got diagnosed with PCOS literally a month ago.
Polycystic ovary. I got the polycystic ovaries.
Really?
Yeah. And Jess is...
You do.
Assistant producer Jess in the corner of the room has also got the polys.
God. Oh, my God.
Felipe, shut up. Shut up about your ovaries. No one cares.
I don't even have ovaries.
No uterus, no opinion.
I have a good opinion.
You've got a great opinion. We love Felipe. That whole time. What a fucking shit sandwich that you've been given this, and I really hate it. I really hate it when people go, I don't want to stick a label on you. And I get it, but at the same time, I'm like... It doesn't work like that at all. I think that diagnoses are unbelievably powerful things. And as much as they can be really shocking and really jarring at first, I think that they are only beneficial.
Yeah.
But having to navigate that thought process and this new part of yourself, like, although it's always been there, like a little monkey on your shoulder, we're like, oh, hello, now I've got a name for you. We now need to work together. I'm not sure how this is going to happen, but here we go.
Yeah.
And so having that as a new part of yourself and then... I was having this conversation with someone yesterday. When something like this happens, when you're dropped from a place, or the place where all of your energy, all of your love, all of this hard work is going into this thing, and someone says, no, you're not allowed to use it. And that is, for so long, the entirety of my identity was being an actor. That's all it was. If I wasn't doing it, I was a worthless piece of shit. Don't do that, guys. But like, and so I had it with drinking as well. When I was told to stop drinking, I was like, I don't know who I'm going to be.
I've got no idea who this person is without this thing. And so coming, Nikki's outside the door, this thing happening and then walking out of that, you have to just like find, I don't know, a new way of being. And it's really frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Were you still with the seven musicians at that point in the house? Yeah.
And oh my God.
Were they supportive?
They were so supportive.
Yeah.
And I've probably never told them that because I'm quite shit at saying those things. I mean, I think I've definitely had a few pints and been like, you guys are fucking amazing. But actually, I genuinely feel like they got me through that time. And they didn't even mean to. And that's the whole thing with friendship is I feel like there was the other thing is I felt I knew them all, but I didn't know them incredibly well.
Oh my God. Mickey's little hand is covering
an icon.
He's amazing.
I love him. And I've kind of said to them every time I've been like, oh my God, thank you so much for like how much you were there for me. I basically didn't leave their house. Maybe 3 years. I didn't want it, like, it was so weird because starting there in lockdown, I thought, oh my God, I don't think I want to be here. And then I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
And they were just like, that's what friends do.
It comes without condition. It comes without thought or, kind of analysis of the situation. When you know that, and especially if it's something that you really connect to and understand, like if you'd gone back home, bless you, accountants, but if you'd gone back home to like a house full of accountants and be like, I've been dropped by my label, they'd be like, why were they on a typewriter? it's difficult. You needed those people around you, that specific energy, that specific understanding.
Yeah.
And to have people go, yep, I'm here, energy towards you is really, oh my God, that's so fucking special.
I know. Like, it was such a weird thing because they didn't go out their way. And I feel like I even now when I've got friends who are struggling with their mental health, I always remember that of how I wanted to be treated then was no one went out their way.
Mm.
They just were there. And I just knew that if I didn't want to go back to my flat on my own in Westbourne Park, I could go there anytime, no questions asked.
Yeah.
When I did get dropped as well, because so many of my friends are singers, I remember that night being like, oh my God, I don't want to talk to anyone about this.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah,
and
100%.
I went back to that house and no one said anything. They just were like, we're really sorry.
Yeah,
and we
just
sat on the sofa. I'm pretty sure we were just watching some shit telly and like I just had tears were just falling out of my eyes. But it was what I needed. It wasn't too much. It wasn't like, now we're going to...
Yeah, because sometimes in that moment, like when something like that happens, what you really just need is a hug.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a hug and you don't need someone sitting down with you going, okay, let's make a plan about what's going to happen next. You're like, I don't have the energy for that. I don't have the space for that. Right now, I just need you to hold me and let's put on some Schitt's Creek or go on YouTube and look at like the stupidest shit and just not have someone trying to find the right words because in that moment, there aren't any. There's nothing that's going to really sort out the situation. So you just need people.
Yeah. And there's nothing to be fixed. It's just to sit.
Yeah.
Be in that shit sandwich.
Yeah. Because the only way out is through it.
Uh-huh.
As painful as it is, everybody, like, you got to eat your way out. And it's, yeah, you do. What is wrong with me today? Honestly. After this, what happened then? Did you reach out to other labels? Did you just, like, take a little moment?
Mm.
What was the vibe?
I was trying my best to just carry on and get through it, but also go around it, go under it, go any way that wasn't going to actually be stopping to think about how I was feeling.
Mm.
And it was really hard as well because the best thing for me and a lot of times when I've gone through any sort of thing in my life, whether it's like grief or anxiety or whatever, breakup, you want to be busy.
And
you weren't allowed to fucking be busy.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be, more than anything in the world, I wanted to be on tour. I wanted to be in writing sessions, or I wanted to be doing literally anything other than sitting and having to process, which I was forced to do.
Yeah.
So that meant I was kind of doing the odd Zoom session, very rock and roll, doing the odd thing, but most of the time, yeah, I had no fucking choice but to just sit and think about things. And eventually I just decided that actually I need to just have at least a few weeks where I don't think about this, because I'm trying to write songs, but I'm not telling the truth. There was this huge phase where I was only writing breakup songs, even though I hadn't had a breakup for fucking ages. I just literally could not cope with the idea of writing about anything I actually felt.
Yeah.
So I just stopped for a
bit. Just remove that little bit removed from you when it's just, and you know when it's hard because you're like, don't want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to look at it. It's too much right now. It's too painful.
Yeah.
The best way to go through something is to be forced to sit with it. Mm. And it is, it's hell. It's absolute hell. But it is the best way to process it and then be able to examine your own life.
Yeah.
But it is it takes a lot. And as fucking difficult as it was, being in that situation is like a strange blessing, even though it's like, it was just like, oh my God, like sitting on a jagged pillow every day.
No, literally. And also, I feel like someone said to me that you kind of imagine all the shit going on in your life if it was like a little cave and it was full of bats and spiders and cobwebs and fluffy shit like that, and it's really scary in your head, and then you shine a torch on it and you're like, there's actually fuck all to be scared
of. Fuck, it's just a fucking fuck, it's Mickey.
It's Mickey trying to get a fly. Oh my God. He is so fucking funny. I can't cope.
You just turn it on and you're like, oh, it's a Furby.
It's a Furby. And there's nothing to be, it's not as bad as once you face it.
The whole time
you're like, I don't want to figure out, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. All the worst shit is happening, as we said with Brennan and Paranormal Activity, peculiar goings on. Like, it is, all the worst shit is happening off camera that you can't see, and it's worse, and it's so much worse in your head.
Yeah.
I think a big question is, what if anyone out there listen to this has been dropped by label, is trying to sign with someone, maybe what advice would you give to them?
Don't do it. No, I'm joking. I would say
become an accountant.
Do it. Have people around you that make you feel good, because there's going to be moments when you fucking don't.
Yeah.
And not, you know, no one can constantly write the best song in the world. No one can constantly be the greatest actress in the world. Like, everyone is going to have times.
Speak for yourself, guys. But
Actually,
I think you're fine.
You can.
But you're absolutely right. Yes, it is. That you're like, there are going to be, as talented and wonderful as you are, there are going to be days when you feel like dog shit.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you need the support, not just when things are going fucking amazingly.
These guys.
You know? Yeah. When things are going so, like, you want people who are going to be there when you're in your depression outfit, eating beans on toast, thinking you can't write any songs.
That's
when you really know, not when you're like, oh, I'm at the Penny Awards and it's all so fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that'd be my advice.
Mm-hmm.
Get good people around you.
Yeah.
Because it's such, I think any creative industry is so, like, it's all so highs and lows. There is no middle ground. You are literally living your best life, or you are in your mum's
100%.
Attic.
You're dip diving between despair and euphoria.
Mm.
There's no middle ground, and it's fuck. It is a slightly abusive relationship. Like,
isn't it?
Yeah, because you're just like, you're living for these wonderful euphoric moments, and then you go through the shitty times because of the love that you have for this thing.
Yeah,
I think it is really great to say getting people around you that are just great, because I think so much, especially, and it happened with actors as well, we go like, we need the biggest and the best agent. And yeah, that can be great, but often it's not about the name. It's about the journey and who you're surrounding yourself with, and making sure that you feel really fucking great and you're not forever trying to like grasp at straws or feel like you're working to impress this person. You just want to make sure that it's an equal footing, I guess. Is there a part of you that's grateful for that, what happened there and where you are now as a result of that?
Yeah. I think so. I feel like I'd always felt like I've been running and I've been really good at it. Mm. And my mum had kind of said this to me as a teenager as well. She was like, I'm really scared about when you stop, what's going to happen? Because I was just, I know everyone as a teenager is like chaotic, but I genuinely don't think I spent a single night at home without a friend sleeping over from the age of like 13 to 19.
Wow.
Like I just was so busy. And I'd be like, oh my God, slay, so yeah, popular. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, yeah. I just knew if I was on my own for too long, I was going to feel fucking sad about something or feel shitty or I might think about stuff.
Yeah.
So the fact that I was forced really head first to stop and think about stuff, it wasn't nice, but it needed to happen.
And you survived it.
I survived
it. And you thrived it.
I thrived it. And that's, like, I feel like if you can do that, then, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of, it's when shit like that happens, because it is, it's the thing that you dread.
Mm.
And then when it happens and you get through it, and not only do you get through it, you fucking grow on it, you're like, oh, that fucking, again, shining the torch on the bat, and it turns out to be Mickey in a fucking fedora or something.
Which, like, I'd love.
I'd go nuts for that.
Oh, so cute. It's kind of, as well as I feel like the, I'm happy to have gone through it because I've tried everything and I really have learned the only way to get through anything, whether it's anxiety or just a difficult time in your life, is to do whatever the fuck you want to do. And it's not to like be, oh, I think I tried everything. I've tried all the things. I tried feeling shit and just not doing anything and staying in. That didn't help. And I tried being so obsessed with my own wellness, I didn't have time to do anything else. Because when you're reading the Body Hold to Score, listening to a mental health podcast, doing 2 hours of yoga, not drinking, and trying to like only eat fucking nuts and goji berries and meditate as well, like you don't have the time to do a lot else.
Yeah. And you think that, and you're going like, this is the way that I'm going to be good and fucking living my best. But, and then actually when you're doing this, you then don't have space to do and like to live your best. So you're just like, oh, well, if I don't have the fucking goji berries, and clearly I've fucked it.
Yeah, yeah. So the only way to do it is just do whatever you would do anyway.
Yeah. Love that. So we have a portion of the podcast that we like to call thank you letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place or a thing, or one of all three, but something for which you are really grateful.
I'm going to say my mate Lara, because, and we tell each other this all the time anyway, but having spoken about all the things and kind of just relived those times in my life, she was such a fucking constant person. I mean, there were so many people who were constants. There were so many people who were...
Oh, yeah, constants.
Constants. Yeah, it's got to be her. And even yesterday, we were both really tired and we were both a bit... And she just phoned me and we were walking down the road and we were just on the phone for an hour. I was eating my breakfast.
Yeah.
She was doing her thing.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Just having a chat.
This is nice.
Oh my God, fucking friends like that. That's just, it is the best. Lara, thank you for you.
Shout out Lara.
Shout out Lara.
For being you.
Lara. Being you. there is actually one thing that I usually ask earlier, but I'm going to ask you now because I think it's a really lovely thing to end on. What are the things about you as a person that you genuinely really love and cherish and you're very proud of?
I was going to say my hair.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. I say my hair.
Do you think hair's good?
Yeah.
I feel like everyone probably says, like, my courage, but I can't say that. I've got to say my hair because it's just always there.
It's always there. And it's good. It's good.
It stands by me and there's not anything else I could be like, I have fucking great, but I like my hair. That's it.
I thought about what people would say about me. Like going, if someone asked me to like ask them, like, well, what's Emily like? I would think they would go, good hair, great memory.
I like that.
Yeah.
I feel like memories like important. Yeah. That's a good one. Do you feel like you can remember, I can remember like genuinely what I ate at an airport 4 years ago and what my friend was upset about.
Yeah.
But don't know my PIN number.
Exactly that. I can remember why someone was wearing a specific coat on a specific day and the fact that Lennon bought a new hat the day that he came into Petrograd before the fucking revolution. But I can't remember the way home.
Literally. It's a fucking nightmare. My own phone number, I've had the same one for 10 years. Absolutely no idea.
No idea.
But I could literally tell you why I was upset 10 years ago to this day.
Yeah. And people go, that's weird. And you're like, well, you're weird.
Actually, I've got important stuff.
Sorry. You know your PIN number? PIN.
You know your PIN?
Do you know your PIN?
I know about Lennon's hat.
Fucking weird.
And fuck.
We're talking about, you have your own podcast coming out, or is out.
Got one out. There'll be more to come.
And it is, I want to, the more the merrier. Look who's done that fucking research. Is that so exciting? Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's really exciting. And you're going on tour?
I am in September. Wow. Exciting.
That's really exciting. I saw you're doing one in Gloucestershire, actually.
I am.
That's my fucking hometown.
Really? Yeah. I'm doing Barn on the Farm next weekend. Do you know?
Is that in Cirencester?
It's in Over. Over.
Over
farm.
The hill.
Over the hill. Far, far away.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
We've had
such a wonderful, wonderful time. I'm sorry, it's so hot in here, guys. We're all very sweaty.
We're all
but
detoxed.
Do you know what? It's like a free sauna.
Exactly.
We're gonna end here and then just like go jump in. I don't know, bucket of ice.
Mm. That sounds lovely. I'll see you in the got me armbands.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
If you or anyone you know is struggling or needs help with the issues discussed on Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends, please visit the podcast bio where you will find contact numbers with people readily available to give support. Please get in touch with your stories at either contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at Emily_Lang_UK. To have your story or your thank you letter read on the podcast, please put survivor story or thank you letter either at the top or in the subject line. We really want to hear from you. We don't care if it's a catastrophe story or a small win from your week, your favorite place, person, or thing. We are here for all of it. Don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.